Welcome to today's special edition of Go Beyond with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, be sure to come and visit us. For more information about our ministry, please feel free to visit our website at www.judahministries.net. Here's Pastor Michael.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Michael Urisha, the senior pastor at the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, and I want to welcome you today to this special edition of Go Beyond. Today we have my good friend all the way from South Africa, Dr. Lungisi Mashlope, with us. He is going to deliver a powerful Father's Day message on this blessed Father's Day. So come on, let's go into the sanctuary and hear what thus saith the Lord through Pastor Lungisi Mashlope. God bless you.
So, without any further ado, would you please put your hands together and welcome Dr. Lungisi Mashlope.
Put your hands together for Jesus, and we want to thank God for His wonderful presence. You know, this is our culture that we have developed in our church, that we don't open in prayer. Because the word of God declared to us that where two or three gather together, there am I in their midst. So we don't pray and invite God to come. We thank God that He's already there, because He said, I will be there. So our prayer today is not to say kumbaya or come by here, my Lord. My Lord is already here. So all we do is to say, thank you, Father, for being here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we just want to appreciate the goodness of God. I just want to read one chapter today. But before I do that, I just want to speak my heart to men, to fathers. You know, I realized that to be a good son, it means that, you know, to be a good father, you must be a good son. Amen. There's no amen there. So, you know, I grew up in a family where we were five girls and four boys, and one mom and one dad. Survival was of the fittest. You know, when we eat, we had one plate, you know, two plates, you know, we had pap here and veggies and beef here. And, you know, if you eat slow, you only have, you know, you go one trip and it will be gone. So when we go to restaurants, I eat so fast. My wife says, you just finished your food. I'm just getting started. He says, you don't understand where I come from. Because we used to make sure that when you eat, we didn't even sit down. We're eating like this, making sure that even if it's hot, it will find itself there. But, you know, then I grew up in such a family, it's very challenging for the father to really distribute his love accordingly to each one of us. So I decided to make a plan. I was still young, but I said, let me make a plan. I want to win my father's heart. And then I said, okay, let me devise some methods. How can I get his attention? So then I studied his life. I looked at the things that he liked. He loved newspapers, and make sure that I would buy a newspaper. Those days you buy a newspaper, he loved politics. He wanted to hear what's going on with the news. I wanted to make sure that before he wakes up in the morning, I have the paper on his bed. And now he will ask me to read the paper, and I was reading in broken English. Those days I could not even articulate good English, but I will read the newspaper to him. He liked that. So next thing I realized that he comes late at home. Those days he used to, you know, get another glass. So, you know, he will come late at home from the pub. And what I will do is I will wait for him and make sure that his food is warm. So when he arrives, when he knocks by the door, I told myself he will not knock the door twice. If he knocks the door, I'll open the door. He comes in. The first thing that he sees in the morning is my face. The last thing he sees in the night is my face. So I was in his face all the time. So I made sure that I am, he gets my attention. And so because, you know, there was a little bit of competition amongst us. And so I made sure that I iron his clothes. He loved his clothes ironed when he goes to work. I made sure, because my mom was in the village and we were now in the town, in the city. So I made sure that I iron his khaki pants. I will iron them very nice. And his shirts, he goes to work, you know, looking good. But I would have done that. So now I won his heart, because then I connected with him. So now, when everyone Christmas Day has no shoes, I had brand new shoes on, because I had got his attention, you know, and I connected with him in such a way. And then along the years, when I got saved, we got a little bit of a challenge, because our ways got a little bit distant. But then, you know, in the years to, you know, going through the years, he started coming to church. And then he will sit right in front and said, I want to hear my son preach. If I'm not preaching that day, he will take his Bible and leave and go home. But what am I saying is, I learned certain things from him that up to now they were imparted to me. But at the same time, when I received Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, I learned how to in the American lingua, is to eat up the sticks and what you say, spit out the sticks and eat up the hay, whatever. I don't know what you say, but it means that you eat the meat and throw out the bones. That make it simple. That's good. Hallelujah. So I learned how to separate and just get what was good and leave what was bad. There was a time where he used to abuse my mom, beat up my mother. Then I told up myself that I will never put a finger on a woman. I will never put a finger on my wife. I will never do that. I'm going to be a responsible man. Whatever bad stuff that he did, I say, I'll reverse that and do good. But the things that he did good, I say, I'll pick them up, I'll take them and run with them. And so I did that, and God has helped me in that area. I'm just helping some men and some young men in here. So, you know, so I'm just saying that that has helped me a lot also in my journey of life, and also knowing that there are things that I need to impart to my own children. I have a son and I have a daughter. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. So, you know, I just want to say that because of that, then he became my friend. He did not just become my daddy. He became my friend. We connected. You know, for others, it was difficult. They were wondering, why am I getting such favor? But I made sure that I please him in every way I do. I make sure that I obey what he says. If he says you are here by 7 at home, you must be here, I'll be at home by 7. If he sends me to the shops and say, you know, he will spit on the ground and say, when you come back, it must not, this spit must still be there. It must not dry up, because you must come on time. I'll go run and buy bread and come back on time. I made sure that everything was to the T. And then that's how I got favor. I did not give him any magic. I did not do anything. But I made sure that I am pleasing to him. And when I got born again, I realized that I have a heavenly father. My father is gone now, but I have a heavenly father. And I'm using the same art. I'm using the same system that I was using to my earthly father. Now I'm using to my heavenly father. And then I read in the Bible, and Jesus said, I only do what pleases my father. And therefore I said also, Jesus, I'll imitate you. I will do what pleases the Father. So I will go to the Word of God and find out what pleases him. And therefore I work on that. I'm not yet there, but I'm not what I used to be, but I'm getting there. So I get to the word and I look at what does the Father want? What does the Father need? And I make sure that I please him. And the more I please him, I become a better son. My sonship is based on understanding fatherhood. When I understand the fatherhood structure, it makes me able to become a proper son. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. So we need to understand that God is a God of protocol and God of structure. You know, God is, the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. That's why the man is the head of the home. That means that God has given him the responsibility. He has given him the, he's wired to lead. He's wired to seed. He's wired to be responsible. He's wired to provide. He's wired to forgive. He's wired to accept and embrace. As somebody talked to me in here. So I'm talking to fathers today because I'm also like all of us and walking in that path of fatherhood. My kids don't please me all the time, but I must not change my love for them. Sometimes they are crazy. Sometimes they drive me mad. Sometimes I feel like pulling up my anointing called the belt, and I feel like, you know, doing some stuff, but I say, hold it one more time. Hold it, man, and then, you know, and be patient with them because they don't think like me. My daughter is just 19. She thinks different. She lives in another planet. And sometimes I wonder, are you here? Hello, are you here? This is not Mars. This is not Jupiter. You know, this is Earth. And my son is 21. He also lives in another zone. He is in another zone. He's there are two opposite forces. The other one is quiet and talking. And the other one is, you know, the other one is, you know, it's like Radio 3. The other one doesn't say nothing. You have to dig it in order to find what he's thinking. You have got to really take your time, an hour, just to find out what he's thinking. You know, and so on. But the other one, you will know what they think in a split second. They just comes out. So, you know, then I'm learning the art to see how do I handle this. And sometimes it becomes very challenging because when I grew up, the only thing I learned was to see my father, how he was doing. But when I got born again, when I went to church, those days, church, somebody help me, I'll read the Bible, that's okay. But, you know, can I speak my heart this morning? When I went to church where every Sunday, it was repent, come you sinner, come to Jesus every Sunday. But they never taught me how to be a son. They never taught me how to behave. They never taught me how to respect the elders. They never taught me some of these things. It was only come to the altar and they, you know, you devil, come. That was the kind of preaching then. But then when I begin to go to the word of God for myself, sometimes you got to go to the word for yourself. You don't have, you know, you are, because I'm a digger, I'm a searcher, I'm a risker, you know, I go to places people are afraid to go. I don't know why, but it happens that way. But then I begin to find in the scriptures and to find out what the word says about me. How do I behave as a son? And now I need to know how to relate to a father. In the African culture, we don't have uncles, we don't have aunts. When in the African culture, in this sense, I put in this context, my father's brother is still my father. In the African culture, he's not uncle, he's dad. If my father is there or is not there and my father's young brother is around, he has the same authority and power, he has the same presence as if my father was there. He can discipline me, he can whip me, he can do everything that my father can do to me. Because the African culture is close. The Western and the European culture is a little bit anti-social, talk to me in here. In Africa, we're very close and family structure is very neat and knitted together. So it's very, very important to understand certain things. That's why when we get born again, we have to understand the culture of the Bible. we have to understand the teaching of the Word of God, because there are certain things that are good even if they are not in the Bible, but they are okay. But there are certain things that are not okay because they are not in the Word. We've got to lay off certain things and lay them aside. The Bible says lay off aside things, weights that so easily beset us, so that we may run this race. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, so that you say, I'm just going to read a couple of verses so that you know that we read the Bible today. But, you know, it's just to talk to fathers, not only to fathers. Some are, you know, mothers here that have no father at home. But it means that God gives you the grace to embrace the anointing to take care of your children and raise them up in the ways of the Lord. You may say, but you know, I'm failing because there's no father at home. God says, I'm the father of the fatherless, and he will give you the grace to teach your children in the ways of God and in the way they should grow. So don't feel like you are empty, you are put aside because there's no man in the house. There is a man called Jesus who is in the house. If your children go crazy, tell them that I have a father, my heavenly father. There is the man called Jesus who is in this house, and he is the Lord over this house. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That, you know, God is, you know, the Bible says in the last days, God will shift the hearts of the fathers to the sons to the fathers. This coming, there's a shift I can see. I can see, you know, even in my son. You know, when I grew up, my father, though he were close, but, you know, he could not hug me. You know, it's not that emotional. The African culture is like a man doesn't cry. Men must be strong. You know, if you cry, you are not a man. Men do cry. Amen. Break down in the front of your wife. Break down in front of your children. Let your tears flow. Don't go cry in the toilet, in the bathroom. You can cry in the front of your wife, your children. You can come to the altar, hear men, and cry and seek the face of God and weep before God. Men can cry. Let go of stuff that is hiding on the inside. Let the break out. Pay it all. Come out of the cave. I don't know, now I'm just flowing, man of God. Something is coming in here. You know, sorry about women. Women go into cycles. They've got their own cycles. But men cave. Men go into caving. All right. But the challenge with some men, they stay in a cave too long. Right. Yeah. Come out of the cave. Your children are waiting for you. Your wife is waiting for you. Get out of that cave. It's good to cave. It's good. I have seasons where I need to be alone. I make great decisions when I'm alone. I shift the focus of the family when I'm alone. But I cannot stay like an eagle for the rest of the life, January to December. I need to come down. I need to know how to have the face of a man, face of a daddy. I need to go with my kids, play with them. I need to get some time. I take the jacket of being bishop, pastor this, doctor that. I'm not doctor to my, you know, my daughter is something else. This other day, we after church, me in powerful service, people are crying. She calls me, she just comes and point her finger, put her finger on my nose, says, "Hi, daddy." I said, in church, I mean, you're just poking your finger on my nose. She's playing with me in church. She doesn't care, church, what? You are still my daddy. Luke chapter 15. Put your hands together for Jesus. I feel there's an anointing here of fathers, of men that are rising in a powerful force. You will not only be a powerful force in the church, you'll be a powerful force at home. You be a powerful force in the streets. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's get our streets right. Oh, glory be to God forevermore. Luke chapter 15, somebody said that this is the story of the prodigal son. There's nothing prodigal. You know, people say prodigal, but this, there's nothing prodigal. It's the story of the lost sons. The story of the lost sons. I'll just read this in Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read quickly from verse 11, I guess. Amen. And the Bible says, and he said, Jesus, you know, Jesus spoke in parables. You know, most of us know what a parable is, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Is that correct? And so Jesus, when Jesus spoke, Jesus always spoke in pictures. Jesus painted the picture of the word. Amen? And so the Bible says a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto who? I want to make sure you're not sleeping. He divided unto who?
Them.
Unto what?
Them.
Say them.
Them.
But who asked? It's only one of them. But when the father divided whatever the goods were, he divided to both of them. Because he realized that I cannot give to one without giving to the other. Even this one is misplaced. He's asking for something that he does not deserve at the moment. And in that culture that day, of the day in those days, if you ask and come to your daddy and ask for your inheritance before he dies, you are literally saying, Daddy, I wish you were dead. You are saying, I wish to you were dead. I'm burying you alive. Give me my portion. I'm done with you. It was a serious insult. It's not just something that we just read. It was a very a serious insult, disobedience. It was hurting. It was painful. It was not easy. And then the father, this man was a good father. And then the father divides amongst the two of them and divided unto them their living. Amen. And verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. With riotous living. Someone once said, riotous living is lack of appreciation living. Have you ever seen people who do not appreciate? No matter what you do, no matter what you give them, if you give them $5, they say, why didn't you give me 10? If you give them 100, they say, oh, you needed at least give me 150. They are not appreciative. You know, one of the elements of Thanksgiving is appreciation. You got to appreciate what you have. You got to appreciate what you've been given. You got to appreciate. Somebody appreciate God. Clap your hands and appreciate God. Appreciate your parents. Appreciate your father. Appreciate your mother. You know, the young man came today, Pastor Mike's son, and gave him a hug and say, Daddy, happy Father's Day. It's not just a hug. It is a picture that says, I appreciate you. It is a picture that says, they may not articulate with their word, but that hug means I love you. That word, that hug means I connect you with you. That hug means you are my daddy, I submit to you. That word, that hug means it has a lot of meanings. It carries a lot of weight with it. It's not just a deed. You know, it carries a lot of weight with it. It comes with a heart. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. But the young man, when he left home, he did not leave his father with a hug. He did not leave the father and say, give him a high five. He left the father. He was a little bit somber. The father was a little bit sad. The father was not happy.
The young man does not go next door. He does not go to next. He goes to a far away country. He does not even, you know, he wants to be as far away from home as possible. There were times when I was growing up as a young man, before I connected to my father, where I felt maybe in this family I need to run away and be somewhere else. Maybe I'm a misfit. Maybe I was born in a wrong family. Why was I born in such a big family? Why was I born in such a family where we eat so hard, where things are so challenging? That's why I told myself, when I get an opportunity, I will go to school. No matter how old I will be, I will go back to class. I'll get another degree. I've got 4 degrees right now as I'm speaking to you. I said, I will fight ignorance. I'll fight poverty. I'll fight these things because I don't want them to follow me. Neither do I want them to follow my children. I've got to break the curse. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. I've got to break the cycle because my parents did not have it. Because they did not have it, it does not mean I must not have it. I have a new chapter, a new beginning. And now I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. I can write my own check. I can write my own book. I can create my own destiny. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. So I had to fight. Let parents, fathers, let's help our young men not to fight our demons. Let us help them not in the future again face the same demon that you've been fighting yourself. Well, we got to break some generational curses in here. We got to go to breaking some crazy habits in here. They are not going to go to my children. They are not going back to my children's children. The bug stops here. That's why I'm a man of God. That's why you are a man of God. That's why you are a father. The bug stops there. You can speak in your house and say drugs are not coming in here. No, not in my house, not under my watch. This is not coming here. If you have been bound, but you are now free, make sure that your children will not go back to the same ditch that you came out of. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. The young man left and went to a far country. And then the Bible says he squandered his goods with riotous living. Something that you did not pay for and struggle for and put effort in it. You just use it just like that. Without lack of appreciation. Right. Sometimes you got to put effort into what you do. Amen. And when you put effort in what you do, you will appreciate what you have done. Because you know your sweat is in there. You know your pain is in there. You know your prayer is in there. There's nothing for free. There's nothing that comes cheap. That grace is not even cheap. Give me a few minutes in here. When the young man left home, he left the arena of grace. He left the abundance of grace. He left his covering. He left his protection. He left wisdom. That's why he became foolish. He left everything that was at home. There was no need for him to go. The money was there. The riches were there. The wisdom and protection was there. But he, with his foolish decision, he decided to go. And daddy knew that I will let you go, but I know that you will be back. He may not have said it, but he knew it deep down in his heart that you will go, but you will run dry. And along the line, you will remember me because I taught you right. I raised you right. You may be on drugs right now, I'm not giving up. You may be crazy right now, but I'm not giving up. because I put a seed in you, because I prayed for you, because I gave you the word, I laid my hands on you, I prophesied to you, you were in my womb, I prayed for you. You are not a drunkard, you are not an addict, you are not a murderer, you are not a rapist. I know my son, I know you. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on you. Driving me crazy, but I'm not giving up on you. I will cry, but I'll not give up. I will weep, but I'll not give up. The men saw them, young men, pick up the bags and going. I could see the father crying when the young man was leaving. I can see daddy crying when the young man was going. He just went just like that. No address, no cell phone, no contact, no communication. Communication is dead. But when a father knows deep down in his heart that I have a son, even if you don't communicate, can I speak my heart today? I had a brother. He passed on and went to rebuke the Lord. But then he left home, Pastor Mike, and he went to South Africa. He was a preacher by then. I wouldn't be a preacher if it was not for him. I wouldn't be saved. But the man was tall and handsome. He was a good dude. He was very nice. You know, I was short. I was the shortest in the family. I didn't look like a preacher. He looks like a preacher. He walked like one. He talked like a pastor. Even his name in Zulu was Melusi, means shepherd. That was his name. So my dad gave us names that have meaning. My name is Mlungisi. It means someone who makes things, someone who puts things together. That's what my name means. But my brother's name was Shepherd. And Shepherd became a pastor. And when Shepherd became a pastor, then he left and went to South Africa. But when Shepherd went to South Africa, which is my brother, this is a true story. And when Shepherd went there, and Shepherd forgot his God, Shepherd backslid. Shepherd started drinking. He started going into Hillbro. That very Hillbro that we were in, Pastor Mike. You saw how terrible that place was. The men went in the dungeons of Hillbro. And then he started smoking marijuana. He got into drugs. This was a former preacher. He never communicated. After 4 years, my daddy, for the first time, I took a trip to South Africa. I was not going for luxury. I was not going for anything. My dad gave me an assignment. He says, go and look for your brother. I'm still long. My dad said, go look for your brother. Why? Go look for him. I took a bus. I took a bus. He gave them money. I took a bus. I landed in Hillbro. This place was notorious. The very night that I arrived, we went to buy some fries in some place. And then I met some people that pulled in some knives. They wanted to stab us. I ran that day like crazy. I forgot that the name of Jesus. I ran. I was jumping cars. And people were following with knives. But I said, I'm here on assignment. I'm looking for my brother. And then I found one man. Then he said, you know what? For you to get your brother, you need to get to one of the thugs, one of the gang members. You need to find him. And when you find this guy, he will lead to where your brother is. And I was shocked that my brother, last time I saw him, he was carrying a Bible. Last time I saw him, he was preaching the gospel. And so I went to this gang member. I said, my friend, I'm looking for my brother. He had already changed his name. He was no longer Shepherd. He gave himself another name. He gave himself my daddy's name. He said his name is Gabriel. So I said, I'm looking for Gab. He says, okay, but if you're looking for Gab, you got to be tough. With the places that we will go, you got to be very tough, young man. I was very, those days I was not horizontally blessed like I am. I was vertically disadvantaged. So then I went with him. Then the first place we knocked, they opened the door. That just the smoke that was coming, it could shock your nose. Since I'm looking. So we went to every drug place. We went to every pub. I was going to crazy places. I was going to strip clubs. We're looking for my brother. Someone talked to me in here. We went everywhere, calling his name, looking for him. But one day, because I was there for 2 weeks, just 3 days before I went back home, then we went into this crazy building that was stinking, full of urine, full of all kinds of stuff. People, talk to me, someone in here. Maybe I'm talking to somebody. But I had my father's heart. I said, I'm not going home. I need to give my daddy a good report about his son. I need to find my brother. And then we got into this place. And then we knocked. As we knocked, and this guy opens the door, and as he opens the door again, the place was dark, and he blew marijuana into my face that you see on movies. He just goes, he blows on my face, and I'm choking. He says, why did you bring this boy here? Why? He says, no, listen, man. He was hitting him on his chest. He says, listen, this is Gab's young brother. Is Gab in there? He closed the door, and he came back, and then he opened the door again, and Gab came out of the door. When Gab came out of the door, he was not the same Gab that I knew. He was drunk. He was stinking. He had all kinds of... This man will smoke until he swallows the ashes. He did not have an ashtray. He will smoke and swallow everything inside him. That's how he did. The devil can mess you up, people. Don't play around. Don't fool around with God. The devil can mess you up. But I want to tell you that there's room to turn around. There's a room to turn around. And then, long story short, I said, sir, my brother, I began to cry. I began to weep. I said, daddy wants you home. It does not matter. I've got money to take you home. Here's the bus fare. Let's go back home. I'm calling a son. I'm calling somebody this evening, this day, with this hour. Don't name somebody who'll be watching in any other time of the night or day, wherever you'll be watching. We are calling that son, come back home. Come back home, son. Come back home. No matter what you have done, come back home. The father say, come. I carried him. He was drunk. He was throwing up. My clothes were full of all kinds of stuff. He was throwing up on me. I says, I'm not giving up on you. I got to carry you home. I got to take you home. Daddy wants you. Anyways, next time on part two, I will tell that story. But this is just what I just said. That, I had, my daddy said, go look for your brother. A loving father will never give up on their son, on their daughters. No matter what, they will never give up. Father, never give up on your sons and daughters. Never give up. And the Bible says, as we read the scripture, that when he did that, he spent, after spending everything, and then the Bible says he had nothing left. After he had nothing left, he had to find a job to make a living. Nothing, no, nothing. Everything is gone. He went to a pig's die. It's in that chapter. He went to live with pigs, from the palace to a pig's die. From a home that is full of food to a pig's die. It was when he was looking at the pigs that they were being fed faithfully so at the right time. And he looked at the pigs, he looked at himself. He was even piggish. He was smelling like a pig. He didn't have the right clothes anymore. Everything was gone. People will like you when you have some little bit of money. People will like you when you've got a little bit of a nice car. But when everything is gone, they will leave you and run away from you. So everyone left this young man. And this young man, he preached to himself. I got a few minutes. He preached to himself. The Bible says he came to his senses. He came to his senses. I'm glad that he came to his senses. Ah, somebody praise the name of the Lord. He came to his senses. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants, in verse 17, of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. Somebody talk to me this day. He says, I will arise. Someone say, I will arise. He says, I will arise. I will not lie down for so long. I will arise. I will arise and go to my father. 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 Arise and go to your father. Arise and go to your mother. Arise and get to your senses. Come to your senses. He says, I will arise. I will arise. He began to prophesy to himself. I will arise. I will arise. Sometime you got to have the will to come out of the pit. You got to be willing. You won't need any prophet in there. You won't need anyone to applaud you. You won't need any cheerleader. You won't need anybody. You'll be by yourself and the pigs. And when you are in that pit, somebody in that pit, can I talk to those that are in the pit? Can I talk to somebody who feels like they're in a pigsty, who feel like everything is gone? Life is rough. Life is tough. Things are not good. Things have gone. I never thought I'll be here today. I never thought my wife will leave me. I never thought that my husband will leave me. I never thought that things would be this way. You find yourself in a pigsty. You find yourself where there's no one to call, where there's no messenger, no WhatsApp, where there's no one to talk to but you and the pigs. At that moment, you got to rewind again. You got to revive again. That's why it is good to store the right seed. You never know when you need it. It's why it's good to train up a child in the way they should go. You never know when they will need it. The young man began to play a movie and began to remember home, that he used to live good. He used to enjoy everything. He does not deserve to be there. He does not deserve to be with pigs. I would rather be a slave of my father than to eat with pigs. I got to arise. I am stinking, but I will arise. I am broken, but I will arise. I have no tooth, but I will arise. I'm one-legged, but I will arise. I've lost money, but I will arise. I've no bank account, but I will arise. I've no social security, I will arise. I've no driver's license, I will arise. Can I talk to somebody today? To arise. He says, I will arise. I will arise. I will arise. I will arise and go to my father. And go to my father. I'm going back home. I'm going back home. I'm going back home. I'm tired of pigs. I'm tired of a pigsty. I'm tired of pig food. I'm tired of this. You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired and say, I'm making up my mind. I cannot stay on drugs for too long. I cannot be addicted to this for too long. I'm speaking deliverance to somebody here. You got to come out of it tonight. You got to come out of it this morning. You got to come out of that situation and begin to rise. Come out of that pigsty. And the young man says, I will go. He took one step toward home. He took another step toward home. He took another step toward home. But where did the change? Change started in his head. He started to renew his mind. He started to change his thinking. Change your stinking thinking. Change the way you think. Shift your mindset. And he changed his life at that moment. He began to walk home as he was coming. Bishop, as he was coming. The Bible tells me that Father, this is what I like about Father. Father was always looking at that direction. He knew that one day my son will come. He will wake up in the morning and look towards that direction. He knew that one day my son will come. And so daddy looked this day. And he woke up and looked. And he saw the boy coming. He was staggering, but he was coming. He was hungry, but he was coming. He had no clothes, but he was coming. He was stinking, but he was coming. As daddy saw him coming, the Bible tells me, that father, look at the father who forgives. The Bible says he ran. He ran. The father is running to you. The father is running to you. God is running to you. The father is running to you. The father ran to the son. It was no longer the son running to the father. It was like the father was saying, son, you have done enough to get to where you are. From now on, let me take it from there. You have struggled enough. You have been pain enough. From this onwards, I will take it from here. Daddy runs. As he runs, he comes and gives him a hug. The hug that he missed when he left. But when he came and he was embraced with the hug. And when he hugged him, he squeezed him with love. He squeezed him with the anointing. He squeezed him with forgiveness. He squeezed him with grace. He squeezed him with power. He squeezed him with affirmation. He squeezed him and say, now this my son was dead, but is now alive. The name of the Lord. And the father said, before my son comes to the palace, this is what I need you to do. Get a robe, take off these clothes that smell like a pig, bring the robe. God is about to clothe you with a new robe. The father is about to clothe you with a new robe. The robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He says, bring my best robe. Bring my robe. Then they put on the robe. He says, no. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Put on new shoes. Give him new sandals. Give him a new beginning. Give him a new chapter. Make a way where there's no way. Give him direction. Give him purpose. I feel like preaching in here. And then he says, not only that, I have a covenant with this young man. Bring me my ring. Bring me my diamond ring. Bring me my golden ring. I want to put it in his finger. I want to declare to the whole world, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Put a finger on him. You are not coming to the palace looking like a pig. You are not coming home smelling like a pig. When you come home, you must be royalty. This is a royal household. Somebody praise him in here. Give me 2 minutes. And then he goes now. Oh, he that was dead
is now alive. He walks royalty. He walks like a king. God is about to change your life and walk with kings again. You will walk with kings again. He holds his hands. Son, let's go now. You are worthy to be my son. You are worthy. I'm your father. This is your home. This is your house. This is your inheritance. I've never left you. You left me, but I never left you. I'm with you always until the end of the age. I'm with you, son. Come here, boy. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm done. Lift up your hands to Jesus. And when he got home, daddy makes a party. Because the Bible says there's a joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to Jesus. Daddy said, let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's kill the best calf. That one that has meat on it. Let's get some brisket. Let's get some T-bones. Let's get some meat in here. Let's get a feast. Let's rejoice. Let us be happy. The son is back. But when they were doing that, another son was in the field. He hears the noise. He says, what's the noise? He asks the servant. He says, no, your brother is back. Instead of him rejoicing, he gets angry. Let me talk to you, angry brother. You got to accommodate your brother that has been lost and is coming back home. Somebody sitting next to you needs your love, needs you to accept them, needs you to love them. The brother, he was the only one who was so hurt. Why daddy is making a party over this boy? He was not only the only one who was lost. This one was bad enough because he was lost when he was already home. Lost at home. Lost in church. Lost. Some people can come here, praise your hands, but you are lost, gone. Come home. Let's stand up. I don't want to go further than this today. The father said to the other brother, he says, can't you? You know, the scripture does not continue there. Jesus does not bring a conclusion of what happened between that brother. But it only the last verse only tells us when Jesus said, why would you be angry? This brother of yours was dead. Now he is alive. We have every reason to rejoice. Men and fathers today, I don't know whatever I said, even if it touched your heart today, can we pray for the fathers today? You don't have to come up here, you can stand where you are. Because of our time, I want to pray for you and stand with you with your struggles and your challenges and the stuff that you're going through. And there are young men in here that need to connect with father, that need to connect with daddy. There are daughters in here that need to connect with daddy, that need to connect with mom. Can we take this moment before we go home today? I know you want to go eat, but we can get 5 minutes for praying for one another today. As we worship together here.
Good Father. love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me.
Deeper still as you call me. Come on, all over the building, say, as you call
me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Go beyond.
Go